with me this morning. In Luke chapter number 15, verse number 1, we find the context of the scripture. Now, I want to say this. I said at the beginning, there is what the Bible says and means. Absolutely. I mean, there are passages of scripture, it means what it means, and that's where you stay there. That is the interpretation of the scripture. And when we say read it in context, what we're saying is read everything around it, read who it's talking to, read who Christ was talking to, get it in the context, and you'll get the right interpretation. But the Bible has application too. And there's a lot of application. God, we can take the scriptures and show, say, here's a passage, here's a story, and this applies to our life in this way. And there's nothing wrong with making application. As long as you stay within the scripture, bounds of the scripture, amen, application's fine. But this morning we're going to preach on in context. Now I want you to notice what it says. It said, then drew near unto him, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, and chapter number 15 gives us this passage of the parable of the lost sheep in verses 3 through verses 7. In verse 8 through verse number 10 gives us the parable of the lost coin, and not taking any breath, not pausing, not stopping, not a different passage. Verse number 10, he gives us the parable of the lost son. Amen. And he is teaching some things to these scribes and Pharisees and also these publicans and sinners around. He is giving them some teaching and understanding about why he came and how we get right. Amen. So we've already studied how to get to the pig pen and how to get back. But notice what it says in chapter 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons. We've spent majority of this passage is spent upon the what we call the prodigal son. But this morning we're going to deal with the elder son. And I want you to stay with me on this thing. In context, exactly what it says, and understand some things this morning. I want to preach on today on seven staggering steps of the elder son. Seven staggering steps of the elder son. Isn't that funny? Seven, seven, seven. Three sevens in this passage. You can find very easily. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Keith, I want you to pray for me. Pray God hide us behind the cross today. So the context, he's talking to those publicans and sinners. He's there with them. And the old Pharisees and the scribes murmured, just like we heard in our Sunday school lesson this morning, isn't it? And they're getting to murmur and begin to be accusative to Jesus and what he was doing, who he was with, and who he was around, and what he was doing. So, you know, Christ has a way. He'd take a parable and say, let me just explain this real clearly to you. Let me explain this real clearly to you about what he done, what I'm doing. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. And this whole passage has to do with him seeking and trying to save. He's the shepherd seeking. He's the woman seeking the coin. He's the father seeking the son. Okay? And all three aspects of this thing. Now look at number one, we get the revelation of the elder son. Look at verse number 25. Verse number 25, you want to stay here with me this morning on this, just not because I'm wise, but just read the scriptures. Look what it says. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now the first revelation he has is he hears a party. He hears a party. That's right. That's what he hears. When he comes up, the Bible says he heard music. And I don't know how you hear dancing. But anyway, he hears music and dancing. Amen. He heard music and dancing. What he did not know, he did not know why it was going on. He did not understand the fellowship that had been regained. Amen. He did not know of the fellowship. Number two, the Bible said in verse 26, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Number two, he heard from a person. He didn't call the father up. He called a person. Let me know what's going on. Did you hear that, Brother Freeman? He didn't ask the father. He asked the servant. What's going on? Let me say this today. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I do not have all wisdom. I do not have all wisdom. And you say, preacher, should I be able to come to you and ask you questions? I believe you should as a pastor. I believe you ought to be able to ask me a question if you have something. But I want to say this. If what I give you is not from the Father, it's no good. It's no good. The Bible says he asked the servant, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Look at verse 27. And he said unto him, this is the servant speaking, and he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf. Now, here's what he hears. He hears a party, he hears from a person, and thirdly, he hears a paradox. Now, a paradox is something that it seems like it's opposite from the way things ought to be. Are you listening? And there are things in life that we're going to run across that seems as opposite as it can be. In Christianity, you're going to run into some things that seems opposite from what they should be. But the reason they seem opposite is I do not have a great understanding of the situation. Now, the Bible says he hears that. Now, what does he hear? He hears this strange paradox. Here his brother has come home, and the father has killed the fatted calf, and he's given it to him, and he, that just seems as opposite. And the thing is, he just doesn't have all the facts. He just doesn't have all the facts. You say, you can't prove that, preacher. Well, let's read on. The Bible said, and he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And that is partially the truth. But the problem is, what he heard was, is that he went to the far country, and now he's come back, and he's all safe and sound, so everything is just a peachy king, and he's been given permission, and he's been given a pass. Stay with me. He's been given a pass to do everything he wanted to do. But the problem is, he did not get the right fellowship. He did not talk to the Father. He did not get all the facts. And because of this, he had not heard the Son ask for forgiveness. Amen. Amen. The Bible says he had heard none of it. All he heard was singing and dancing and partying and permission and a paradox. And he says, I just don't get it. That's right. What he had not heard was Luke 15:17. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father. Will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven for thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants. He never heard that. And because he didn't hear that, he was confused. Deuteronomy 19:15 says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. For any sin, in any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. How many witnesses does he need? One. In that one witness caused him to completely turn upon his brother. What happened was his revelation was not complete. I want to say this today. In our lives, we have got to be careful to get the complete revelation. Amen. It will make messes in our life. You say, what, preacher? What if I get half a revelation? Then you're going to have confusion. Who's the author of confusion? The devil's the author of confusion. Amen. Number one, his revelation. Number two, his reaction. Here's the seven staggering steps in this. Here's your seven staggering steps. The Bible says, and he was angry. Amen. And he was angry. What caused him to be angry? Incomplete revelation. Amen. And he was angry. In Proverbs 14, 17, it says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? In Ecclesiastes 7, 9, be not hasty in the spirit to be angry, for anger resisteth the bosom, resteth in the bosom of fools. When a person is quick to be angry, they're going to make foolish decisions and foolish statements and say things they ought not say. Say amen. Come on, church. Number two, notice this. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. I thought it was amazing this passage. You read it, had a little feather. You found out in verse number 29. He says that we might make merry with, that I might make merry with my friends. And that's funny to me, because here's what it says. According to what he is on testimony, he says, I've never had a good time with my friends. I wonder if he's hanging around the wrong crowd himself. If you hang around angry friends, you become angry. Amen. Number three, notice this. The Bible says over in Jonah 4:1, when Jonah found out that God wasn't going to destroy the city of Nineveh, the Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. You know what he was? He was harboring grudges. Amen. Why would Jonah be angry that God turned the city around? It's because the city of Nineveh had done so much against the Jews. The Bible, if you, not the historians read, history says that whenever the Ninevites destroyed somebody or fought against them, they'd take their bodies and hang them on the outside of the city walls. They'd literally hang them. They'd stick them to the wall. Stick them to the wall. And stick them to the wall. And the Jews had been attacked by them, and Jonah hated them with everything. He had a grudge on them. He didn't want to see God bless them. I mean, here's the nation that had hurt them, hurt him, done things wrong him. And he says, I don't want to go into a city and help them, and then you're going to forgive them. And they're the very ones that's hurt us Jews. What are you saying? He had hatred, but he was harboring grudges. And he had hatred too. Matthew 5:22 says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Who shall say unto his brother, Rakish, shall be in danger of counsel. But whoso shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. The Bible says he had anger. He had hatred. He was hasty. He was hanging around. The Bible said, listen, you say, how can you say that? Because as soon as he heard the revelation and took it in his heart, the first thing he did was get angry. What's the first staggering step? When you have discord. Discord. The Bible said, beware of them that spread discord among the brethren. He had discord. He didn't like the situation. He was angry. Some people are holding on to anger. In Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In verse number 25, the Bible says that he was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house. When did they do that? They did that in the afternoon. That literally means that, Brother Freeman, that this man was going into the nighttime being angry. He was holding on. He was harboring that anger. Now, number one, there's discord. Number two, there's defiance. Look at what it says. Now, keep your Bibles open. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out to him and entreated him. And would not go in. That's defiant. The Bible says he is angry and he would not. He was indifferent. He was not going to do it. In Matthew 23:13, it says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering in to go in. Hey, listen, when you're like that and you're indifferent to what God is doing, not only do you hurt yourself, but you close the doors to others. Amen. Because others look at you. Children look at their parents and see how they treat other people. If you don't get things right, your children will look at you and say, well, mama didn't get it right. It must be right for me not to get it right. If you gossip and talk about people, your children say, well, mom and dad says it's all right to gossip and talk about people, so it's all right for me to do it. That's right. What we do is the doors we open and close, we many times open and close for those around them. No man liveth to himself. No man died to himself. Now, so we see in this scripture that he wasn't going to get in, and he didn't care. He didn't care what other folks said. He didn't care what hurt. He didn't care how it affected his father, and he did not care how it affected his brother. He didn't care how it affected the servants that were around him. The Bible says, And he was angry and would not. Amen. Say amen there. Number three, notice this. He was angry and would not. Therefore came his father out. What's happening? The second thing, we see that the father is still interested in him. Even though he's stubborn and hard-headed, and we get that way, amen, the father says, well, I'll go out and see him. And he used a word here, he says he entreated him. And the word entreated means he invited him in. It's not like he wasn't a son and wasn't already welcome to come in. But now the father has to go out to him in the field and say, son, please come in. Son, please come in. Now he had the right to come in any time. But now he's had to ask, the father has to come all the way out. Listen, when the father came out, he had to leave the other son. I thought it was amazing. The father didn't have to go to the pig pen to get the son to come home, but he has to go to the field to get the one that's there. I wonder how many times in church those in the pig pen come home willingly, and those that are here have to be begged. Amen. That's a sad statement, isn't it? The Bible says he had to go get him. Now notice, stay with me now. Don't shut it down. Number one, his reaction is, his first step is discord, his second step is defiance, and his third step is disrespectfulness. Look at it with me. And he answering and said to his father, lo, and we'll read that most time and think, well, that's, how's that disrespectful? Well, number one, he didn't move. There's a statement I heard somebody say, hesitation is rebellion. The father said, the Bible says he entreated him. He invited him in. But did he go? No. He's still standing there. And now he's standing there going to argue with the father. Amen. That is disrespectfulness. Amen. He did not move. Matthew 21:29, he answered and said, I will not. Talking about the son that says, I will not. But after he repented and went, and he came to the second, he said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, went not. With them twain did the will of his father. And they said to him, the first, Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. You know what he's saying right there? He said, there's some folks that I won't, but they will. Amen. He said, but there's other folks that I will and never and won't. Amen. There's a lot of people talk a good talk. Mm-hmm. Notice the respect, I will, sir. That's what the Pharisees are doing. They love to use the right words, but they're not going to do it. Number one, we see that he was disrespectful and he didn't move. Number two, he was disrespectful and then he disobeyed his father. The Bible says, and he answered and said unto his father. The father, not only did he move by out of respect, he just flat out disobeyed the father. The father told him, come in. He's not coming. And the third one, and this one really stood out to me, Brother Tony, here's what he said. And he answered and said to his father, lo. Now, I want to be very careful about this word. But this word lo, if you read in the Bible, it means behold, look, get a better understanding, get a better revelation. You don't understand everything. Let me explain it to you. Let me show you something that you don't know. You know what he's doing? He's telling his father, you do not know what I know. You have not been where I've been. And you do not see what I see. So, lo, look, behold. I'm getting ready to show you something. That's a highly, highly disrespectful tone to our father. Amen. And especially when we know this father is representative of God himself. Amen. I heard a fellow tell me yesterday, just about told me, that God didn't understand his situation. Said he needed another book in the Bible about him. That's what he told me. Disrespectful. Boy, I tell you what's in the book is enough for me.
Amen.
Amen. So his number step, discord, defiance, disrespectful, and discontentment. Notice what he says. These many years do I serve thee. It's broken out in two blades. He said, number one, these many years. You know what he's talking about? He says, this has been boring. These many years, this doldrum, this overwhelming boredom that I have, being at your house, being at your service, it is a boredom to me. We have been here too long. what he's saying. These many years do I serve thee. And the word serve there literally translates slavery. Not only am I bored, I am in bondage. I do what you tell me to do, but I don't like it, and I hate it, and I wish I was free from it, but I did it because you told me to do it, but I don't really like it. I am a slave to you. And I can tell you right now, as soon as I get free enough, I'm going to, he's already thinking about heading out, Miss Heather. He may have not done it, but he's thinking about it. Unless sin doesn't always happen in what you do, many times it's what you think. The Bible says, hey, he says, I've served you. I've been a slave to you. The word translates literally a bond slave. I am bound down and I have to do what you say. But I don't like it. And it has been a long, drudgery, boring thing. Can't you see him pointing that to Father? Lo, I have served you. I have these many years do I serve you. I have been here and I want you to understand that. And he points that finger to that father, straightens that father out. At least attempts to. I said we're in context. That's what he says. So there's the discontentment. Number five, we see the denial. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He said, I have never done wrong. That is in huge denial. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3:10, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible talks about knowing the law of the life. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We say, I always did what's right. You always did what's right. I asked a fellow one time that didn't believe in eternal security. And he said he's saved, but he didn't believe in eternal security. And I asked him, I said, so you always do everything right? He said, I tried to. I said, that wasn't the question. No, I do my best. I said, I appreciate that. It ain't good enough. The Bible says our best is our righteousness is filthy rags. The best we can produce. Church, the best we can produce is filthy rags in his sight. We're not getting to heaven on the basis of our finished rag righteousness. It's going to be based on his finished work at Calvary and his righteousness that is imputed to us so we get to go to heaven. Some folks think that they deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell, but I get to go to heaven. He was in denial. He said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. But you know what he was doing? He was doing it now. The Father had already invited him in the house. And he's standing there pointing his finger and said, I've never done wrong. At the very peak of it. There's this denial. Look at his desire. Verse 29. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And there's three or four things I wrote down this. Number one, had he ever asked? You know, a lot of folks go around and say, I don't have this and I don't have that. You ever go to God and say, God, is this your will for my life? Could I have that? The Bible says you have not cost you. Ask not. Amen. Number two, had he appreciated what he had? Look at Luke chapter number 15, verse 12. You got your Bible up? Look what it says. And the other of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. I just wonder, did he appreciate that what he had? Oh, by the way, he's the elder, and the elder gets a double portion of the younger.
Amen.
You never gave me? He took 2/3 of his living and gave it to this son.
Amen.
And lastly, or other, also he, I wonder if he had asked, if he asked amiss. The Bible says in James 4:3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. If he had to ask the Father and he had not received it, maybe it's because the Father said, you know what, if I give that to him, he'll waste it. And the Father's not in the wasting business. That's the reason he didn't go down and party with the son down in the pig pen. He was down there wasting it. Amen. Number seven, another staggering step, and we're almost done. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Still pointing the finger at him. And now we see, now he's saying derogatory statements. He's saying statements to the Father, talking about the son. Now notice what he says. There's three things he says is real important. Number one, he says, but as soon as this thy son, he claimed no relationship to his brother. So we got a family problem. It's your son. I've heard mother and fathers, the son or daughter doing something. That's your boy. That's your daughter. No. They're both of us.
Amen.
The Bible says, he said, you know, this thy son. He didn't talk about this my brother. He said, it's your genes that's in him. We got family problems. No relationship to me. Number two, he says, which had devoured thy living with harlots. Now, either he was gossiping or guessing. Because the Bible never says he did it with harlots. It said he had riotous living. Riotous living means he's spreading out everywhere. But it didn't say he was with harlots. Now, either he was gossiping, had heard news, and was talking about it, or guessing. You know, a lot of folks get in deep sin, but a lot of folks help them get deeper. They got this level, and they just go ahead and talk about them all down here. The Bible never says he did that with harlots. You won't find it. It ain't there. He just said he went and blew the money. Now, he may have blown it on harlots, but the Bible doesn't record it, except what the brother said. And thirdly, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And there's a forgiveness problem. Because the fatted calf, evidently, he don't consider it that he can partake of it. You've killed for him the fatted calf. Now, if I'm a brother, and I got things going on. Listen, if Brother Ty gets a blessing, I get a blessing. I mean, a brother ought to be blessed by the blessings of another brother. If my sister, the Lord gives her a blessing, then I'm blessed because God blessed her. If Brother Keith gets a blessing, I'm blessed because God blessed him. Hey, here's what I'm saying is, why don't people get that you can partake of the blessing even though it isn't directly to you? If it helps a brother or sister in Christ, then it's a blessing to you.
Amen.
Maybe it got too much covetous. Derogatory statements. Now, that's his, we see his revelation, and we see his reaction. Now today we're going to look at his reproof. Now I'm about done, but I want you to listen to this thing, and I want you to get this last part if you didn't get none of the rest. If I bored you to death, I want to get this last part to you. The Bible says, look at it with me, verse 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. What he's talking about, he says, you have the privilege of my presence all the time. Thou art ever with me. I am always here. He said, number two, and all that I have is thine. You have the possessions that are mine. If I've got it all, then you can have it all. Now think about that. If I'm always here, and I can always be reached, and I own it all, and I am giving it all, everything I've got is yours. What is your problem? What is your problem with your brother. Here's what he says. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. The word merry in there means to speak of it talks about being in a good frame of mind. And the word glad, it means to be cheerful and calm and happy and peaceful, to have joy in the home. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He said, number one, he said, son, we are doing this because we need to reveal, we need to show our love towards this son. And I am letting love be revealed in me. And he said it was meet that we should show love to this son. Amen. That we should be merry and happy that they're home. Because at the time when he wasn't home, but now he is home. And we're going to show him that we love him being home. It's important. He said not only that, but you need to realize your lineage. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother. This thy brother. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We like this verse, don't we? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? He said, number two, you need to understand your lineage. This thy brother. You need to understand that life's been restored, was dead, and is alive again. And you need to understand that the lost was recovered, was lost, and is found. I want to say this, when a prodigal son comes home, the elder brother ought to be as much in it as the father. Let's park it here for a second. When a prodigal comes home, and it's back, and we don't have, some people are so messed up, they give the party before they leave. But when the party starts is when they come home. And when they come home, us, the ones that are elder, the ones that are mature, we ought to be just as excited about it as the father. And let me be very clear. The Bible says when that one comes home, there's rejoicing, what does it say? Among the angels. The angels can't rejoice. They don't know what it is to get to come home. And if there's rejoicing among the angels, there has to be one or two groups. Either God is having himself a time, and I believe that, or those saints that gone on before that are with them are having themselves a time. I personally believe whenever a prodigal come home, those in heaven, they blow out the trumpet. I mean, they have an old time shouting spell. I believe heaven gets excited about a prodigal coming home. I will say this, if heaven can get stirred up, why can't we get stirred up? Amen. Amen. Well, preacher, we just never know. Get over that! Get excited that they come home. Y'all with me today? Preacher, I don't like this kind of preaching. I know. We can't preach about all the prodigals and never talk about the elders. We'd be out of context. We don't believe being out of context around here, do we? Let's stay where the Bible says stay. So what happens? Well, here's the question. Here's the question. Did he go in? And we don't know, do we? What makes this passage apply to the Pharisee is that the Pharisee hears the truth and won't go in. And the reason Brother Lee Davis could preach that message to Brother Ty, you heard, is because if the elder hears the truth and goes in, then he's what Brother Lee Davis is preaching about. But if he don't, he's what I'm preaching about. And who was he talking about? He was talking to the Pharisees. And they would not go in with those publicans. Now here's the question to us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to step outside and stagger seven steps around trying to get God straightened up with how we think about things? Listen, church. Where's the father going? I have to come out in the field and say, listen, son, this is thy brother. Let's come home. Come on inside. Father, I didn't understand that. The old devil tried to throw me a curveball. I didn't understand that. I'm sorry. I'll be the best. I'll let him know I'm glad to see him. I'll hug his neck and I'll be a help. Now listen, he's lost his heritage. He's going to live off the father the rest of his life. He has lost his heritage. The other two-thirds goes to the elder. It is not split again. Everything that the father has in the house, he can go to the bean cupboard, he can do all that. He all he wants to, but that's all he's going to get. But it's good being in the father's house.
Amen.
And by the way, as long as you're in the father's house, everything took care of anyway. By the way, what else do you need besides being at the father's house?
Amen.
The firstborn is always a type of the natural man. You have Cain and Abel. You have Esau and Jacob. You have Ishmael and Isaac. Every time you see it, it's typical of the carnal or natural man. And I wrote this down. If the firstborn is not controlled by the inborn, then he needs to be reborn. If our flesh is not controlled with what's inside us and not moved to the Father, then we probably just need to get reborn. We've probably just never been saved. Because I'm telling you, when God has to come out in the field to talk to me about something, situation in my life, and I will not get right, then I am a Pharisee. When you hold grudges and hold past memories and hold on those things about somebody, and you say, well, preacher, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? 70 times 7? Isn't that what Peter said? 7 times? Jesus said, no, I'm telling you, 70 times 7. In other words, it's more than you can count. You don't go 1, 2. You're just glad they're home. Because the truth of the matter is, you know you don't deserve to be in the Father's house either.
Amen. That's right.
I don't deserve to be in the Father's house either. If I get to come in the house of God and sit on the back row or the front row, it is a gift of God. And the way I respond to Him shows who I am and what I am and where I will go and how I will act. And if I don't respond to Him right, then there's a problem with the inborn not being right. We don't know what the Father did. I mean, we don't know what the Son, the Elder did. We don't know. But I know who He's talking to. The Bible tells us. So I want to ask you this question. Are you in or are you out? Are you in bitterness or are you blessed? Are you happy or are you hated? Are you glad or holding a grudge? Because the Father says, come and dine. Let's all stand. Maybe you just need to come down. Let me say this. There are things built up in people's lives. I know people that still talk about things that happened when they're 16 years old. And they're 60 years old now. That means for 44 years, and they wonder why they're not getting blessed. I see people do strange things. And what they're doing is they're living yesterday today. Never got to get forgiveness. They've never forgiven that person. They never moved on. Or the devil just lied to them. Because they asked the person what happened. He didn't go to the father. If he went to the father could have explained everything to him. And he did. A lot of people are living in their yesterdays and find no joy today because something happened to me way back yonder somewhere. Something wasn't done right to me way back yonder somewhere. And some of us got this idea that for some reason our lives should have been more blessed and more pampered and more pacified than anybody else's life. We better make up our mind where we want to live. Because I can tell you this, the Father's house is a good place to be. And close is not close enough. Rich, you don't understand. You're right, I don't understand. I don't understand why Jesus come all the way from heaven, have perfect conditions. I don't understand that. Preacher, you don't know what's been done to me. I do not understand why people spit in God's face. I do not understand that. You don't know why they treated me. I don't know why they took that cat of nine tails and rucked it across his back and made him where he was unknowable by anybody around him. You're right, I do not understand that. I do not know that. Preacher, you don't know how long I've been through it. I do not understand why he stayed on that cross for 6 hours. But I'm glad he did.
Yeah, amen.
You're exactly right. I don't understand. We got to keep our minds and thoughts upon him. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him, for he trusteth in him. What's the most dangerous thing is be so close to the house and can't go in. He said, publicans and sinners will go in before you. You know why they'll do that, Brother Ty? Because they know they're publicans and sinners. Old Pharisee says, I'm glad I'm not like he is. The publican smokes his breast and says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And enters in. I want the piano to come play something soft this morning. If there's a prodigal here this morning, and I don't know there isn't, I don't know there is, but there's a prodigal here this morning, if you'll come back to God, God will take you in, God will forgive you, and I promise you, I will forgive you because I have no right to hold a grudge. Of all folks, I have no right. Preacher, I'm afraid you'll bring it up again. You don't have to worry about it. If God can forget it, I can forget it. If you need to come some more and get things right, just get it right. Go on. Maybe some of us here this morning say, you know, sometimes I have a tendency, I justify myself by looking at them. I compare myself with them. I compare myself with them. Because I ain't like them, then I must be all right. By the way, the field is still a there, not a here. When you're standing out there, it don't have to be way down yonder there. Amen? It can just be outside the door there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I feel like somebody needs to move this morning. I'll be honest with you. You need to come this morning, just come down.